This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Switzerland's Navori is among the most enduring and respected firms on the software side of the digital signage industry. Widely used globally and known for being an early adopter of emerging technologies. I did a podcast session with CEO Jerome Murray about 4 years ago, and a new product release coming out of Navori presented a good reason to get back together again recently. The lab side of the business has been working for several years now on an AI-based computer vision platform designed to do audience measurement for retail and digital out-of-home. The product's called Aquigy, and it pairs with Navori's well-established CMS software. I asked Murray about the thinking, given there are numerous commercial and open source computer vision options already on the market. We get into why, what it does, and how it differs with what else is out there. We also talk about the state of the business and industry on what we all hope is the tail end of COVID. We also hear his expectations that the coming year will see a lot of consolidation of the software ecosystem through acquisition. Intriguingly, Murray says Navori will be making a couple of acquisition announcements soon. Welcome, Jerome. It's been a while since we've talked. I looked up and saw that we first did a podcast almost 4 years ago now, which is amazing how time goes by. Yes, how has things been for Navori in the past year? I've spoken with many companies, and generally speaking, they've done okay through all this mess.
Yes, the pandemic was a moment of truth. And the travel ban was very difficult for us because we are an international company and our business is based in on traveling. So it's been difficult. So we had to refocus on research and development to end this pandemic with many innovations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I was curious about that. How you've had to adapt to selling only online when so much of your work, particularly with the guys I know over here in North America, mm-hmm. is relationship based. And, you know, Jeffrey and Jordan are on planes mm-hmm. a lot visiting clients, and now they've had to do everything online. Have you gotten good at that?
It's been difficult, but, you know, surprisingly, our level of revenues continue to grow in 2020, and North mm-hmm. America was not affected at all by pandemic. It's quite surprising, but this is what happened. And the Middle East and Asia also kept the same level of revenues. In Europe, it's a bit different. We had a slight drop because Europe is traditionally working on big projects, big deployments in retail. And most of the deployments were put on hold. It was a bit more difficult in Europe than elsewhere. But North America and Middle East and Asia are good. So we did not have any impact. We've been able to do everything remotely using Teams. And I guess it has not been too difficult for us because our company is 20 years old. So we have a base of customers and recurring orders. But I had a thought on young entrepreneurs, you know, that put a lot of effort to create a company. And for them, it's been very difficult because they did not have a strong base of customers to face pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine a lot of your customers are kind of enterprise level. And as I've heard from some other companies, they just kind of carried on knowing that this thing would end and they had the resources and they already had a plan in place.
Yeah, yeah. We also had to open an online store and to start selling online for the entry-level products only. And mm-hmm. we had to set up a full logistics, you know, to take in account this pandemic.
And, yeah, I've heard that from other companies where they've had to kind of branch into things they wouldn't normally do or don't really want to do, but you have to adjust.
Yeah, we had to do it in such a way that we can still continue not changing our business model, which consists in working with partners. So the development were a bit sophisticated, but we've been able to complete this development.
Has customer needs changed over the past year? Are they asking for different kinds of things?
Yeah. So when the pandemic last year came up, we were in the middle of a research and development project based on computer vision. So in June, we had to stop everything and to release a product that is managing it's a computer vision system that is integrated in our digital signage. And it's managing how many people can enter and how long they would wait if they have to wait to get in store. And we've been able also to detect whether they wear a mask or not. And we did that to help our customers, you know, especially the retail in Europe. They needed this type of solution to open the store, you know, and while keeping, according to the staying according to the regulation from COVID. And we released an add-on called Access Control, which was dedicated to this type of use. And it did help a lot our customers in Europe.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of reports around access control systems and thermal readers and things that will meter the people coming in and out of a retail environment or other environment. And I've been very, very curious about how much actual take-up there's been of that. I mean, I think it's quite interesting, but because I'm cocooned, so to speak, where I live, and I'm not traveling and seeing this stuff, I've not read a lot of indication that there's been much take-up in retail, but are you seeing it happening?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very important, you know, in bank, in department stores, where you have multiple entries, you know, the human being cannot count and check how many people are in when you have multiple entries, for instance. And only the computer and the software can do that. So it has not been deployed so massively, to be frank, but for downtown department stores or banks, you know, flagships, it's been used intensively, and it was just a solution we tried to bring on the market and to help our customers.
Mm-hmm. You've just released a new product that you were referencing earlier on computer vision. It's called Aquagy.
Yes, so Access Control was a digital signage product. So it was related to our digital signage product. So a maximum of users may take profit of it. And it's because when the pandemic happened, I have assigned 50% of our R&D team on computer vision starting in 2017.
Okay.
And we have made a lot of prototypes and investigation because market insights. And because we thought it was a market that were related to the digital signage or to the DOH. And at the same time, it was different in the sense that it's a pure AI. And we found, this potential market interesting. Would be worth, according to the insights we get, more than $1 billion within 5 years. And just for the software, for artificial intelligence in retail.
Now, the whole idea of audience measurement using computer vision and AI has been around 15 plus years. There's a number of pretty well-established vendors out there doing it. And we've even seen some of the display manufacturers like NEC in particular coming up with their own version of it. And there's open source libraries that have computer vision, open source code, all that sort of thing. So I'm curious, why did you see the need to develop your own when there was a lot of it out there?
Mm-hmm. So first, because such companies do not have a digital CMS software in digital signage, and the connection between both systems is very interesting. And because the content is at the digital signage end, we thought we had to make these developments and to release a new range of product. The second point is that this is true that you have a lot of open source code, you know, available from the web, with some models enabling to do some computer vision. When we did our research and development, we found out that most of these companies are have a level of accuracy at about 40%. And this technology was consisting is consisting mostly in counting bodies, not detecting people. You see? So if you have someone passing by multiple times, when you have employees, it's just a body. And the sensors are also doing a great job in counting bodies in such a way. So the computer vision is not needed to count bodies or shapes. But what we have developed is that we have created our own engine, just like we did in digital signage. And what makes our system special is that we can combine and create multiple models. So we create models and we combine models to reach a degree of accuracy beyond 90%. This is the first differentiator. The second differentiator is that because we can identify people, when someone is passing by multiple times, we count only one people. And because we identify people, we can say how long they waited in line and how long they stayed in store.
Right.
And for the DOH industry, we have also developed a technology which is detecting the field of vision of the people passing by. And we can determine whether they had an object within their field of vision. It can be a product for retail application, or it can be an advertising panel, you know, for a DOH, for instance. And we can say if they had the object within the field of vision, and if they looked at the object or if they interacted with the object, and for how long.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the main differentiators. And the reason why we've been able to achieve this is because the engine was created by us. And we used to collaborate with our university researchers. And we also built our own models. And we make an assembly of multiple models. So this is why we can reach a degree of accuracy of 90%.
Mm. So does the platform only work with Navori's CMS?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and how does it run? Is it running off of the same device that's being used for the media playout, or do you need a separate device?
I see. We need a separate device, like a PC for the moment, but in June, we will be releasing a small device that will that would deliver a digital signage media player plus computer vision, including the camera.
Okay, so kind of an all-in-one thing.
Yes, yes, and it will be far cheaper than the PC solution. And it would be all in one. The reason why digital signage and computer vision are interesting is that within the digital signage system, we can, for each impression of an ad, we have also the audience demographics, how long they stay, what are the opportunity to see, conversions, and stuff like this. So it's a plug and play solution that doesn't need to play with API and to create complex and sophisticated systems. The second reason is that the digital signage can play some content and choose content according to what the camera can see. So we can reverse the model and adjust the content, the ad content, according to the audience. Mm-hmm. And again, this is plug and play.
I've always been curious about the idea of audience measurement triggered content. So male 40 to 60 walks in front of a screen, serve content that's contextual to that person. It's always been interesting, but I've wondered how often it's used and how much of a demand is there from brands and from retailers to do that, because it can get complicated in terms of the scheduling and planning for that, right?
No, you just set conditions, and within a few clicks, anyone can do it because mm-hmm. it's done from the UI. And it's always good to adjust the content. Triggering is, you have two ways. You may adjust the content on the fly, you know, mm-hmm. and you may trigger. I agree with you for the triggering. It's kind of, it's a bit special, or triggering is more for emergencies. But adjusting the content on the fly is something fully automated, and it's very easy to implement.
And do your customers have their heads around that? They understand the possibilities, because I can see them kind of going, well, that's interesting, but that sounds awfully complicated. Maybe we'll do that later.
I think it might take 7 years, you know, to make people fully using this type of solution. But the product is available now. So it's mm-hmm. Still a product for pioneers. You should also consider the programmatic system. So I would like to connect AquaG with a programmatic mm-hmm. system, so we can deliver some very detailed and accurate statistics on the audience. And so the cost per impression might rise because of the qualification of the audience. And the level, we can also measure the level of interest of a given content, because we can compare one content to another to find out which one is more efficient than the other.
Yeah, that to me is the kind of the secret sauce of these computer vision platforms that I don't think gets enough attention, is the idea that you can take a look at dwell times and attention levels piece mm-hmm. by piece and adjust the content accordingly, instead of just kind of shoveling it out there and hoping people notice.
Yes. Yes, precisely.
Do you offer some sort of a dashboard that your customers can then use to kind of see what's going on and understand it? Because if it's just log files, then it's just a bunch of numbers.
Yes, so we have beautiful dashboards within AquaG user interface. And mm-hmm. It's a dashboard that is made not that much for scientists, but it's more for marketing people and advertising people. So it's for everyone. So we try to simplify as much as possible. But at the same time, we also have an API for the data scientist that may retrieve information for cross-analysis with other business intelligence systems.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this product working more in the digital out-of-home sector, or do you see retail being the big take-up, or is it a balance?
We have always done both, addressed both market, but I think DOH might have maybe 30% of the share and 70% for the retail. This is originally a marketing product, enabling people to know better about their customer, the traffic, their activities, and the customer experience. And so most of the features are marketing oriented, if you like.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Have you found your company being drawn more and more into the digital out-of-home side of things just because of contracts that have come up?
Yes, contracts, opportunities. I think digital out of home is a very interesting market, especially from the back end, because it's quite complex, you know. You have to create rules, you have a lot of algorithms. From the player standpoint, the requirements are quite basic because it's a full screen content. You don't have dynamic content shown on screen, you know, no automation and stuff like that. So it's a market that is very interesting from the back end. We are clearly a contender on DOH. There is an incumbent company, which we appreciate a lot, by the way. and so we try to make a difference with this integrated computer vision solution. And we think it would be helpful. We will start the test of AquaG next week in Istanbul Airport. It's a big deployment. They have, 1,000 displays. It's a combination of LED displays and Tizen system on chip displays. And they will make some tests with the content automation. So according to the audience, we might adjust the content on the fly.
In the past, when companies have looked at using computer vision hardware and software, they have often tended to just do a sample of locations and extrapolate data based on that sample, just because the hardware and the software costs to do it across all of the display nodes is just cost prohibitive. I'm assuming that's changing, and when it comes to things like Istanbul Airport, maybe you're not at every screen with a computer vision node, but you can deploy them more broadly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we will release our own hardware, and we have simplified the process in such a way that this technology becomes scalable and deployable. Because when we make an analysis on numbers, the numbers are important, but they are less important than the comparison over time, you see, especially right. In marketing, but also in DOH, you have to find out the trend. If you are a store, you need to make sure that your customers have not waited more than 10 minutes in the queuing line, in the waiting line, mm-hmm. for instance. You need mm-hmm. to monitor. You need to monitor how long people stayed in store per demographic, you know, age, gender, and stuff like this. And because it reflects the attractiveness of your store, its assortment, layout, and things like this, you have to measure how many people got in store. And it's also very important for retail. And we created a product that is doing this type of measurement and can adjust the signage at the same time. And I think the cost of AquaG won't be so different from digital signage after 2 years. Today, it's 30% more expensive than digital signage, but within two years, I can tell you it will be exactly the same price. So twice the price of digital signage, to be clear.
Right. So with scalability, that'll come down.
Yeah. We will develop a small device, plug and play. And what is also interesting with AquaG is that we can plug the system to an IP camera, so any camera pre-installed, you know, we can use the video feed to make the analysis. So we don't need a physical camera next to something, you know, to make the analysis. We can we can plug our system to the security cameras, because you already have security cameras to film inbound people, outbound people, queuing, you know, and so we can reuse these cameras. So it would facilitate the deployment.
How much of a pushback do you get from venues when you start talking about using their security cameras? I mean, the whole idea of computer vision, particularly in North America, gets people all excited about invasion of privacy, which usually is completely wrongheaded, but nonetheless, they're excited about it. So how do you work around the privacy issue?
So the degree of intrusion of AquaG is far much lower than traditional CCTV retail used to use for the last 30 years, because we don't store biometrics, we don't store data which are related to individuals, we aggregate on the fly the information. And it's very close from a sensor. It's not. You had a case in Canada. You had a case with a Fairview, I think. This company was storing the biometrics on the back end on the server. You see, for further analysis, we don't do that. We don't store any biometric at all. And we are compliant with GDPR. It depends because GDPR, it depends on the regulation, whether you film inside or outside, you know, indoor or outdoor. But we are fully compliant with GDPR. So the privacy is really a concern for us. This is also why we don't process the kids under 18 years old. We don't track the races of races. We don't do that, and we have a full encrypted process. And we don't store anything that is personal, whether biometrics or image or stuff like this. So I don't think this system is so intrusive. So this is for Europe and Canada, okay, with the GDPR. Oh. So we deliver the software with about 50 features, so the user can adjust the feature of the software to be compliant with the local regulation, because GDPR might change from one Euro country to another. Right. Then you have North America, and in North America, in the United States, except one or two states, there is no regulation. So it means that the customer can store with Aquagy the biometrics on a central database and share this information with a business intelligence and other marketing material. So it really depends on the country. We can do everything, but in some countries like Canada and Europe, the user has to restrict the software in such a way that it is compliant.
Mm-hmm. So you run a company between yourself and your R&D people who are usually pretty early on emerging technology trends. You guys were early adopters of system on chip. You're early adopters of Android. What are the trends you're seeing out there that you think are going to get attention and traction within the digital signage ecosystem?
I think the digital signage industry is pretty much stabilized now. The software, the display vendor software, are targeting the low hanging fruits. So they deliver a commoditized software, and they try to approach the market, whether directly or indirectly. And then you have the professional software like Navori. And at Navori, I would say in the United States, for instance, about 40% of the top digital signage operators are using Navori in OEM. And so the scale is greater than it used to be 5 years back. And the way I see how the industry would evolve is that these digital signage operators would become stronger. They are doing a lot of acquisitions, including internationally, you see. And these big operators would continue to grow, and for the professional digital signage network, they require sophistication, they require the support of multiple display brands and operating system, and they want to do everything. So for the top part of the market, Navori will continue to get stronger. We will also do some acquisitions. Some acquisitions will be announced very soon. And so there will be some kind of consolidation. There will be some consolidation for the big digital signage operators. And for the rest of the market, it will be taken care of by display vendor and probably their software for the basic use types.
Yeah, I mean, you've had Samsung and LG out there for a while now with their own software CMSs, and Samsung in particular has really started to aggressively market Magic Info in a way that they didn't do for a very long time. That you see the big display guys doing that more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, You can measure how good is the software in its ability to incorporate artificial intelligence and the upcoming technologies.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting when you're talking about Navori doing acquisitions. I was curious about that because I get a lot of phone calls and emails from venture capital firms and independent investors who are saying, hey, we're interested in acquiring companies. Who's out there? Can you help us on that? And it seems like there's a lot of activity around that right now. I don't know whether that's they're looking for distressed companies or they just see an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, it's from the software standpoint, because I'm only aware about the software. You have a lot of national companies, you know, a company that is leading or number two for a given territory like Germany or Italy, Spain. And these companies, they have a problem because their market is not large enough. And right. They have some market share, but it's not enough to finance the research and development. And these type of companies are typically the best company to acquire. And these are our target companies.
So who are you buying?
I can't tell today, but if you are patient enough, Dave.
You're not going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you when it will happen.
I'll find out when everybody else does, right?
No, you will find out earlier, ahead of
Minutes before.
Yeah, a few days before.
All right. Jerome, it was great to catch up with you.
Thank you very much, Dave. I wish you a great day.
Thank you. Take care. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.